Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, to be here in thy house in this evening hour. We ask, O God, that thou in thy omnipotence and in thy great ability, Father, that thou wouldst craft a message and bring forth thy word with power, with truth, Father, and that the message might always be about Jesus Christ. O Father, even as thy word is about Jesus Christ, that the message would likewise also be about Jesus Christ. And so we just pray thee that thou wouldst be glorified throughout this evening, Lord, and that all would be said and done and sung would be to thine honor and to thy glory. Father, for thou alone art worthy, and this we do ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn and read from the epistle of the 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4.
Prva poslanica Korinčanima, četvrta glava je nađena.
Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now are ye full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it was appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
Lord, we bow before thee in this evening, having assembled together in this midweek service. Lord, we are blessed to be able to break away from the from our obligations that we have in this life, and we're able to pause and sit down with thy word before us as a fellowship, as a body of believers, with our children and our friends. And we thank thee for this moment that we have. And we give thee thanks for this precious hour that is before us. And we pray, Lord, that the time that we spend together here with thy word is the focus, which is the power of God, that each of us, Lord, would be able to bring our thoughts together and to be focused on that which we have read. And listen intently, O Lord, to what thy Spirit will speak. For we know that thy presence is with us. It is a promise that thou hast given, where we gather more than two or three, that thy presence is here. And so we rejoice in thy presence, O Lord, and pray that our hearts would be such that we would glorify thee, praise thee, and magnify thee, not only through our lip service, not only through word, for we have just read, O Lord, that the kingdom of God is with power. And that power, O Lord, thou givest to all who seek thee diligently with a pure heart, who confess their sins before thee, who repent of their sins and acknowledge thee as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we pray, Lord, that this would be given unto each of us, that we would have the power to stand, not in our own power, O Lord, but in thine. That we'd be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one, the devil, and that we would stand fast with thy word as our anchor, with thee, Lord Jesus, as our anchor, that we would be able to serve thee in the days that thou hast given us. We don't know the length that they will be, O Lord, but we have today. And sufficient is the evil of the day unto us, O Lord, for not to worry about the tomorrows and the next weeks and years and so on. But Lord, that we would put on the whole armor of God today as we are instructed to face and to go to battle, in a spiritual battle that each of us face, O Lord, with the enemy of our souls. But Lord, we are guaranteed a victory. We are guaranteed the ability to overcome because we have the power of God. And so, Lord, we ask that each of us would yearn for thy truth. Thy word is truth. Lord, we have nothing without thee. And so we pray, O Lord, that thy truth would prevail here in this evening. And every time that we open thy scriptures, thy word, O Lord, that we would be drawn to those words which were uttered by thee, O Lord, the words that are truth and that give life and that everlasting. So we pray, O Lord, that thou bless our coming together this evening. We thank thee, O Lord, for all the blessings that thou hast showered down upon us, the gift of food and clothing and shelter that we have in abundance, O Lord. We are far above what thou, Lord, did have here upon this earth. And we pray, Lord, that none of us would ever get puffed up and try to show what we have attained, what we have been able to accomplish in this short, brief life, but that we would recognize, O Lord, that everything thou hast given unto us, thou hast given us to use for thy kingdom, the furtherance, O Lord, of thy kingdom, that whatever we do to one another, O Lord, we have done it unto thee. So, Lord, may we always keep that in our minds and our thoughts, O Lord, when we see needs around us, when we, Lord, hear, that we would be quick to action and to do thy work, O Lord. So bless our coming together. Abide thou with us. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
We have this blessed opportunity to be together here in church on a midweek service. And one of the things that Satan wants to do is distract us and to grant us to just not allow us to be focused and attentive to what the Spirit would say and what the message would be about. It's not man's message, it's God's message. And if we understand that Satan is doing that and he wants to distract us, we'll have a better chance of having a better focus on God's word. There are some things that would distract us. There is internal things that would distract us on things that are going on in our lives, and we'll want to think about those things. That would be a temptation to be distracted, and there are other external things that would be round about us, things that are happening around us in the sanctuary that would also distract us from hearing what the message would be. But may God grant unto us each grace that we would hear what the message would be, and that we could have attentive hearts and seek for ways to apply what we would hear from his word. And so as we come together, let's come together with an empty cup. An empty cup and saying, Lord, fill my cup. I want to hear the message. I want to hear what the lesson is for me today. And I know that there will be something there because God is faithful. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He will teach us something. He will give us something to ponder upon. He will give us something that will challenge us in our lives, or some perhaps even an admonition in our lives. So may we come this evening hour with an empty cup before the Lord, asking him that he would fill it up. I appreciated the thoughts that were shared in the prayer just now. They capture a lot of what the message would be in this evening hour, and that is simply that we would be faithful stewards of what God would have for us, and that we would do what God would have for us, and that it would ultimately then be for God's glory. The Bible says here, even in this book, that whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so if we remember that, even that alone, even that can fill our cups. Even that could be something that we could ponder on and take with us, that whatever we do, we would do all to the glory of God. Because it's always all about him. Though one of the verses we read tonight here, the verse number 20, second to the last verse that we read, said, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And so that's what it's all about. It's about God's kingdom, because God's kingdom is power. In that lies power. We know that man is fickle. Man changes. Times change. Cultures change. Nations change. Everything changes. But in God, there is power. In the kingdom of God, there is power. The kingdom of God is not in word. Words are cheap. Okay, but it says that the kingdom of God is in power. The kingdom of God is in power. And so as we consider that all that we would do would be to the glory of God, and that the kingdom of God is in power, then we can go on and be faithful to God and do what he would have us to do. So we would recognize that all that God has given unto us, all that we have, God has given unto us. All the gifts, talents, resources, everything that we have, God gave us that. And then we are to use that which God has given unto us in his kingdom. Or we might say, in God's projects, in what God would have us to do. And then we would do that all to God's glory. So we would use God's gifts in God's kingdom to God's glory. Or we might say we would use God's resources into God's projects unto God's glory. And so that's perhaps a message that we can get here from chapter 4 here in 1 Corinthians, is that we would recognize that everything we have, it came from the Lord. God gave us it all. We have done nothing of ourselves that we can say, we can boast that God gave me a lot of gifts, but this is something I developed and have of my own. We can't say that. Everything that we have has come from God, and so we use it then for his purposes, not for our own purposes, not that we would glory in them, in what God has given unto us, but we would use them for his purposes, for his glory. So we can glory in what God has given unto us. We can glory that we are able to be partakers in the labors of his kingdom, and we can glory in that, in the fact that we can simply even give God glory. So the last verse of chapter 1 says, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." That's where our glory is. We glory in the Lord because he gave us all these things. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In chapter 3, it says, "Let no man glory in men." We don't want to glory in men. The Corinthians were were deceived in this. They were carnal in this. Some were glorying in Paul. Some were glorying in Apollos. And some were glorying in Cephas. But here the Bible is specifically telling us, let no man glory in men. We're not to glory in men. Man is fallible. Man needs redemption. There is not one good man, no, not one, as the Bible says. Then in chapter 6, it also speaks here and says, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies are the Lord's, our spirits are the Lord's, and we are to glory in the Lord. Glorify God, because it's all His, and we're bought with a price. We are purchased, and we are His. And so the reading here this evening hour started off by saying, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So he's telling the Corinthians here, we're simply servants and we're stewards. As ministers of Christ, being a servant, one who would serve. And it's just Christ that they're serving. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so it's very important that when we recognize that God gave us gifts, we are to employ them. We are to use them. God gave us breath. God gave us heartbeat. He gave us that our faculties could be used. And then we are to use that to His honor and to His glory. We're not to be slothful. We're not to be lazy. We're not to put off things continuously, but we are to labor in the vineyard where God has placed us. And so he's saying that a man that is a steward, he needs to be found faithful. He needs to have good fidelity. He needs to fulfill the responsibilities that has been placed upon him. And so all of us here have a responsibility placed upon us that whatever gifts or talents or resources that God has given you specifically, individually, you are to use that, not to let it set idle or be as that talent that was wrapped in a napkin, but to use that to God's honor and to His glory. So it's required in each of us that a man be found faithful, that we would fulfill the responsibilities and the obligations that have been placed upon each and every one of us. And so he's continuing on speaking to the Corinthians who had some issues in their churches, and he said in their church, and he says to them, with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. He's saying, I'm not, it's a small thing. If you're going to condemn me, that's a small thing. If you're going to judge me, that's a small thing. If you're going to give me accolades, that's a small thing. It doesn't really matter, he's saying. It's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. He's saying, my knowledge is very limited, but even in that I am not justified. He says, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. He that judgeth me is the Lord. And so that's where it really matters. We can accuse or excuse one another, or that type of thing, but it's God that justifies. Where in Romans it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that can condemn? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And so the Apostle Paul says, you Corinthians are judging me, but that's a small thing. It doesn't really matter, because he that judges all things is the Lord. And he that justifieth is God. And so he continues on and says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So he's saying here, the Lord is coming. And when he comes, there's two things that are going to happen. He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Those things that we were hiding in our hearts, portraying something that's different on the outside than what's on the inside. He's going to bring to light those things, the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. That's what's going to happen when the Lord comes. All that's in our heart, will be exposed to the Lord. There will be nothing that can remain hidden. It's as if you're standing before a garage door and the garage door opens up. You can see all the contents in there. Everything's in there. Everything's exposed. It's all made manifest. And that's how it's going to be when the Lord comes. He's going to make manifest the counsels of the heart. What was in our heart, that will be fully exposed. All things are naked and open with him with whom we have to do, the Bible says. And then shall every man have praise of God. And that's when it matters. It doesn't matter if man praises another man. That doesn't really matter. But when God praises a man, that's when it matters. That's when it means something. And so the Bible says here, then shall every man have praise of God. And to think that God would exalt someone and speak well of them. But yet the Bible does say, and in the Gospels, that when we have done what what was required of us to do, and we have been faithful in our lives, that Jesus will say, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful." And so may it be that we would use what God has given unto us in his kingdom, for his glory. And when we do that, we will have the praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and no one of you be puffed up one against another. And so he's basically saying here in this verse that we're all equals. We're all men in God's sight. The Apostle Paul wasn't greater than Apollos, and neither was it the other way around. We're all in need of the Holy Spirit. We're all in need of a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, so who maketh thee to differ from another? How are we different one from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do we have? What do any of us have that wasn't given unto us, that we received from the Lord? Everything we have, it has been given to us from the Lord. Everything. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? So that sentence is sometimes a little bit hard to understand, but basically he's saying here that you received it, but you're boasting as if it's not something you received, it's something that you earned, that you worked for. And he's saying that's not the case. Everything that we have has been given to us from the Lord. Our heartbeat, our next breath, our ability to think, to move, to do things, that all comes from the Lord. All our gifts, all our talents, everything that we have, that all has been given to us from the Lord. It's not something we earned. It's not something we've developed. It's not something we worked very hard for and that we can boast about. Everything we have has been given to us. John the Baptist recognized this, and he said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Everything that we have has been given to us from God. And if we acknowledge that, our lives are so much more blessed. When we can say that there's nothing that I have that I earned and it's because of me. That's liberating. It's liberating to think that there's nothing I own or there's nothing I can do that's of my own self. I built it up, I developed it, and it's because of that I can do these things. It's not. It's of the Lord. And when we recognize that it's all of the Lord, it's liberating. It's liberating. We can have joy in the Lord in that God gave us everything. But yet we are to use what God gave us in his kingdom, on his projects, for his glory. Now ye are full, now ye are rich, Ye have reigned as kings without us. He's speaking to them that they thought of themselves very highly, these Corinthian people. They thought of themselves very highly. And they felt that they had knowledge. They felt that they were very wise. And he says to them, now ye are full, now ye are rich, and ye have reigned as kings. But in Luke's gospel, we read there that Jesus said, woe unto you that are full. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. And so here the Apostle Paul is warning them. And he continues on and says, for I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and unto men. He's saying, you have it good, but for us it's very, very difficult. We are fools for Christ's sakes, but ye are wise. He's saying here that we were preaching, all we were talking about was Christ, and we're fools in that. And he's saying, but ye are wise. Your knowledge is increased. But again, he's warning them here of this error that they are in. In earlier in this epistle, he writes to them and he says, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so as he was preaching to them, he was simply preaching Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Here's the message. It's Jesus Christ. He was preaching to them. And so he's being accused of as being just a fool for Christ's sake. There was another chapter where he's speaking of how he only simply preached Christ and Christ alone. Oh, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul's saying, I didn't come to bring my message. I didn't come to say, oh, here's my thoughts, here's my opinions, here's my perspective. He didn't come to say any of that. He said, we didn't come to preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He's simply saying, I'm your servant. I'm your minister. I'm just one that serves, and I'm only serving one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, him and him alone. And so that's why he was writing here saying, we're fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. And then he says, and even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. This is what their circumstances, the Apostle Paul and those that were with him. He's saying, this is what we were like. We were hungry, we were thirsty, we were naked, we were abused, and we were homeless. We have no certain dwelling place. We're homeless. This is our lot in life. And again, going back to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is speaking, and he's saying, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. And he's saying, when we were reviled, we blessed. And yet the Corinthians had the opportunity to fulfill what Jesus taught there in Matthew 25 when he said to those that labored and gave food to those that were hungry, gave those drink to those that were thirsty, clothed those that were naked, and took the strangers in. All these things that were, the Apostle Paul says that their condition was the Corinthians had an opportunity to serve them as Christ would have them to serve. And so he concludes these verses by saying, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. I warn you. You were being carnal. You were thinking that you're of Paul or you're of Apollos or you're of Cephas or you're wise in Christ and you know so much. He's saying, I need to warn you. I'm not trying to shame you, but I need to warn you. This behavior is ungodly. And so he's continuing on to exhort them and says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." And so he's saying to them that they were educated, sure. They were very well instructed. And so they had these instructors that came to them and taught them. And an instructor will perhaps teach very well, and he'll be able to bring forth a message and say, you know, these are the points that you need to learn and you need to know. And at the end, we'll give you a test, and you'll go on your way, and I'll get some more students. That's what an instructor is like. But he's saying here, but you can have 10,000 instructors, but you don't have many fathers. A father is one that will care for you and will not teach you to the test. He will teach you in a way that would be walking with the Lord. And when there are some failures or some setbacks, that he'll still be there. A father will still be there. He'll still care for you. When you've fallen down, he'll be there to pick you up. He's saying an instructor won't do that. And so he says, "I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Let's go together, follow after Jesus Christ. Let's kneel together at the foot of the cross. Let's be defamed together. Let's be reviled together. Let's be persecuted together. And that's what he's speaking to them about. And he sends to them Timotheus so that they can be exhorted in the ways of Jesus Christ, that they would, again, continually use the resources that God gave them, the Corinthians, to in his service and to his kingdom, on his projects, unto God's honor and glory. And then he says to them, "But some of you are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power." But the power, saying it's not the speech that counts. Words are cheap. Words are cheap, but it's the ability to follow in the ways of God and to have His Spirit operating in you. This is what the Corinthians were saying about the Apostle Paul. His letters are weighty and powerful. These epistles that he writes to them, they're weighty. They're very powerful. But his bodily presence, it's weak. It's weak. When he shows up, he's very weak. He doesn't have much power when he shows up. And his speech, it's contemptible. He doesn't speak very, very well. And he says that there in chapter 2. He's saying, I came not with excellency of speech. But this is what they were saying to him. And he's saying, but no, I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to come shortly. And when I come, I'm going to know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. Where does your power lie? Are you as you're being instructed, as you're wise in Christ? Are you, and you're able to boast of your knowledge in Christ? Does that follow through with power? But he's saying, no. I want to see if you know the knowledge. Do you have the knowledge of God by walking with God, by walking in His ways, by being reviled, by being persecuted, by being hungry, naked, destitute, thirsty, homeless, buffeted, abused? Are you walking in the power of God? It says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And so he says to them, "What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Do you want me to come and be disciplinary, or do you want me to come in love and in the spirit of meekness? Will you use what God has given to you for God's kingdom, not for your kingdom, for God's kingdom?" And then ultimately do it for His glory. Because he writes to them and he says, "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever we do in our lives, that we would always do it to the glory of God. God has given each of us unique talents, unique abilities, unique ways to do things. No two of us are alike. But he wants us to use what he has given unto us for his kingdom purposes. So if there's someone who's lonely, that you would provide companionship to them, because God gave you that ability to do that. And that you would do that work in his kingdom for God's glory. And not that you would say, well, I provided companionship for this person, and see what I did. Did everybody notice that? He's saying, no, not for your purposes, but for the glory of God. If there's somebody who needs help in any way, that we would use our resources to strengthen the kingdom of God, to do godly work, to God's honor and glory. Whatever way that is, it's an open-ended process. There are so many ways in which we can use what God has given unto us for God's uses, and then ultimately for his glory. Amen.
Paul opens up here and calls himself a minister of Christ. A minister of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. Unto Paul was given secrets, things that had not been revealed. These things were entrusted unto him to write. In Romans, we hear him writing of the mysteries of the cross. In Ephesians, we see the mysteries of Christ's church, of Christ's cross, of Christ's church. In Thessalonians, speaks of the mystery of Christ's coming. These are all things that were revealed to him specifically. And he later says, if I'm going to be judged, judge me according what is my stewardship. As a steward, he is one that takes care of, gives an account for someone else and what is theirs. And as a minister, the word for the minister is an under-rower. He is an under-rower. He is pooling under the master's command. The greatest of apostles, the greatest of teachers, the greatest, says he is an under-rower. Christ is his master. And he is pooling his oars with all those fellow believers who are working for the Lord. If you're going to judge me, he says, judge me for my stewardship. The mysteries that were given to me, how they have been expounded and given. And he speaks of the power. What is this power? In Romans, he tells us, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is the power. You can't get it any other way. It's a new birth. It's a new man. And so Paul here in closing, he says, I will come. He says, I can come in this way or that way. He said, but I will come in love. He's going to let love prevail. Love, dear ones, is truth. Love does not mean that I will allow, as you can see in his writings, he's been given the responsibility as a steward, as a minister, as an under-rower, as one who is operating under the command of Jesus Christ. And he will come in the spirit of love and meekness to show the Corinthians church how their divisions are so wrong and against the power of God. So, dear ones, we are all ministers. We are all under rowers. We are all pooling our oars under Christ's command. That means we are all pooling together, not against one another, not dividing and conquering and whatever we think we can do. We're pooling together, or we are not ministers of Christ. May God bless his word this evening on each of our hearts. Amen.